What a blessing. What a blessing. We're on. Good to see everybody. You may be seated. Yeah, it's that time. It's that time. I'll tell you, I was looking so forward to this conference and the fellowship and the word of the Lord. It has been good, hasn't it? Both have been very good. Did anybody meet anybody new that you didn't know before? Yeah. Yeah, is anybody already now planning 2 years from now to make sure we get to Visalia? Yeah, everybody in this room plus, you know, you're called to go out and save people, right? Yeah, save them from themselves of not going to conference too. Get them there. Let's get them there. That'll be really awesome. Pastor Brian and Christy will be hosting that one, and that'll be a great, great time. Look, it's been an honor having everyone here, and it's been a privilege for us to welcome you, and I hope that we have given you everything you needed, and so I appreciate all those here at this church who have given, I mean, just given so much time and effort. Would you agree? Let's thank them. It'd take a long time to announce every name. It just would. There's just so many people helping. And I just thank the Lord for that. One big family, man, that's what we are. One church, one family, one body of Christ. Isn't that awesome? Before I get started, I do want to introduce my wife, Naomi. Come on up. And you saw her the other night, but let's welcome her. She's going to speak a few words to us. Yeah.
Good morning. This is so good to have you guys all here. This weekend has been so awesome. Sorry, my voice is a little gravelly from the weather, I guess. Really? But this is like to piggyback on what Tim was saying, it was awesome that we could do the Zoom conferences, but to have back to an in-person conference, it's just been a long time, and it's been so good. And a lot of people say, well, it's a lot of work, you know, aren't you exhausted? And I'd do it again in a heartbeat next weekend if I had to, you know, if just to have this, what we've had this weekend. And, you know, we've heard a lot of good word this weekend, and I was thinking about that. And our, you know, coming here, you know, we moved here in 98, coming here, didn't know a lot. I didn't, you know, coming here, but we knew, I knew, this is where we were supposed to be. And there were a lot of things that I learned over the years and that kind of stuff. And one thing I can say that I have learned is these elders, these ministers, they love us. You know, there was a time where I thought I always knew that. And a few years ago, you would have said that. I'd be like, yeah, I know that. I know that. I now know that, how much that they love us, and they would do anything for us, and they want to see us succeed in the things of the Lord, you know. Even if that means they have to correct us, you know, doesn't God, he loves us, so he's correct us, and we should want it. And, but I'm just thankful for all the ministry and their love for us, and they keep us in remembrance. You know, they remember prophecies and things that we've received that even when we forget them. And they remind us of those things, and because they love us. And that is just so, I don't know how to say it. It's just the how blessed we are to have that, because we don't have this. People, you know, I've been a part of other churches, and you just don't see this. You don't have that, you know. And to have that here is just such a blessing. And I know for myself, I don't want to take that for granted, and I pray that I don't. And but I want to tell all you guys, thank you. You know, thank you for being faithful to the Lord. And we've all had different journeys to get here, but it's all brought us together, and it was all by the Lord. So thank you so much. And like everybody's been saying, if you guys need, I know this is the last services, but if you guys need anything, just let us know. We're here for you guys.
Very good. Thank you. You know, the word of the Lord's been good. Last week we did a celebration here at the church, and once again, I had asked who had watched that. Some churches joined in. Other people saw it separately, individually. If you would like a link to see that, trust me, you would enjoy the history of this church. And here's why I emphasize that. I made a statement that I wanted to, when God began to put it in my heart about this church, there's a very specific reason for that. There, you know, a church is the greatest thing you could have in the earth. I know there's a lot of churches that defile that idea. I get it. I know that people start churches to do a whole lot of things, and people have their own agendas. I get that. But the church is the greatest thing we have in this world. It should be the thing that God Himself ordains from the beginning by a word from heaven that sets a body of group together that comes together to find the Lord, not only to find their salvation, but to find the glory of the Lord and begin to have the revelation of Jesus revealed to them. That's why we're here. I mean, this is what God has done in our church. And when he started in 1976, the funniest thing is that you take a guy like Rick and Ann were married, and she tells the story that her husband Rick, who we all know, we didn't know him like back then. He wasn't a preacher back then. He had a heart for God, and he sought out a pastor. He wasn't even the pastor, but he sought out a pastor. And a church began. And that guy stayed all the way with us. He played his part all the way through, didn't he? Just like you're playing your part right now. Now, what I want to ask, and by the time we get through all of this morning, we're going to find out how many of us have actually realized that we're in a church of God, and I have a part to play in this. And this is my church. Everybody say that. This is my church. No, it's Jesus' church. Well, whose name you got written on you? Everybody say, huh? Whose name you got written on you? Are you? That's right. So whose church is it? It's my church. Yeah, I'm in him. I ain't taking credit for it. That's not what you're doing, right, Tim? Tim's not saying it's Tim's church. He's saying it's my church as in I'm in Christ. The Lord started this church, and the Lord's going to take this church all the way down this path that we're going. We've been here 50 years. Very few of us was here from the very beginning. We honor those that were, and we see their commitment and their faithfulness. Keith and Michelle and JM and Debbie and Ann and Rick, they all stayed all the way from the very beginning to this day. And I got a good feeling, Keith, that you stayed just to make sure the work would not fail. Would you agree with that? That God said, this ain't going to fail, and I'm going to stay here to make sure that's true. And now there's others among us that have risen up that said, oh, we're taking on that. This is not going to fail. And so all of us together come together for this church. And I want to present a thought to you this morning. And look, what I may do, I've watched Brian, I've watched Gary do this time thing over the week, and I learned something. I learned some things. Well, I can preach as long as I want, just as long as I take a break. So I might take 2 or 3 breaks. How's that? Because I can just keep coming back preaching. Because, you know, breaks make everything better. Yeah. But here's what we're going to do. We probably will teach for a little bit and then maybe take a break. But then I got something at the end I want to join together with us. We'll see how that goes. Maybe we won't. Maybe we will. But there's an order that God had created. And one thing I wanted to do was set... It's like we look at the parable of the earth, the story of the earth, and we go, that's an amazing story that got us here. We kind of covered all that last week in our meeting. And we did a timeline. But then there's this order of heaven where God gathered his counsel. I mean, come on, listen. If you never thought about that there's a church in heaven, then you have missed the point of this earth. You've missed it. Because why would God gather a church in this world and say, I want to work in this church and abide in this church? He's trying to teach us what it's like in heaven. You think you're going to go from just being in a church and everything's going to be completely different in heaven? Nope. He's getting you ready. Dave, like you read yesterday, the inheritance is already there working. If there's a church in this world that God himself has put together, then don't you think there's a church in heaven that God himself has put together? Yes. And boy, oh boy, is there a celebration. There are those that are already part of that church that have gone on before. And they are waiting and visiting and they're talking. Matter of fact, that's why you hear people say that, you know, take for example, Jesus goes up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, okay? And he's got his disciples there with him. Remember that story? He takes Peter, James, and John up to the Mount. And there's this, he's transfigured, Jesus is. And the disciples are there, they're young, they're falling asleep. They don't know what's happening. All they know is like, should we be here? And it's like, they're new to all of this. And who's showing up in the vision? Who shows up? Moses and Elijah. They show up in a vision? You mean coming from the church of heaven? They show up to a man in the earth and say, hey, Jesus, let's talk about your death. Let's talk about that because we're just waiting on our pastor to come home and lead this church. And then Jesus, at the same time as the church in heaven and the saints are being gathered, Jesus is in the earth gathering his church. And then he tells Peter the famous words, upon this rock, PK, I'll build my church. From the day Jesus entered into the earth, what did he have in mind? A church, Dave. Jesus had a church in mind. He was building a church. And we go, well, we're from Visalia, or we're from Yuma, or we're from Boise, and we're from Chicago. Listen, everybody. We're not just from those places. We are born from a word of God that started right here in Chicago, and everybody came forth to that word. And that word came from heaven. And it started in heaven. And you think God's just going to let this church go to nothing? Nope. He's going to keep visit. The only way God has to let this church go to absolutely nothing is if all of us put our hands up in the air and said, I don't want to serve God, and walked away. You know what God would do? He'd find somebody else. And he'd find a faithful one, wouldn't he, Brian? And he'd put his word in them. And then he'd start it over again. But you know what? That's not us. Tom, is that us? We're not the ones going to let this go, are we? Matter of fact, the word of the Lord is going to come into our hearts, and we're going to say, and we are saying, that we're going to carry the word of the Lord into the future, and 50 years from now, somebody's going to have heard our word and be preaching this gospel. Amen. That's what I say. You know why? Because Jesus showed up and told us to preach his gospel. And see, what I'm saying is that every one of these words, I love that years ago we used to have conferences, and remember they used to name them. Everybody had to preach the theme. Man, I'm glad we got rid of that. Because when you hear a good word come from Keith and from Gary and from PK and Dave and Brian, and you hear these words and they're very needful for the body. Because the Lord has set up a church where the apostolic doctrine can come in and teach us the things we need to be taught to perfect the body. That's what's happening, isn't it? And we say, what time frame are we in right now? We're in the time frame of perfecting the body, perfecting the church. And God is doing that. And the thought of it was impossible is now gone from us. And I look at this group and I say, wow, what a group, man, we got here today. A group that wants to serve the Lord and honor the Lord. And so the Lord appeared just like he did in the Bible. Well, take the Old Testament, for example. You know how they started? With an altar and one man. That was it. An altar and one man. Well, you didn't need a church. You only had one man. So you made an altar, and God would show up and talk to you. Take like Abraham. And how do you think God talked to Abraham? Well, it was in the spirit for sure. But they would build altars, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that was the beginning of what a lot of people didn't realize was going to be a church. It was a meeting place, a dwelling place where we come together and find the will of God. And then Moses came along and they built a tent. And they traveled. And they preached and sought the Lord and went on the journey toward the promised land and a tabernacle. And then Solomon came and they built a temple. And then Jesus showed up. And then he said, I'll tell you what. Let's make the temple and the church the body. And when I open up heaven after I rise from the dead, I will be able to have access to every single temple of God because I am now making the church the body. And each one of us now can be given access to hear from heaven. Now imagine that, everybody. Oh, we already know that, right? We already know that. But what I have found out is this is something that's been very important in God's mind. God knew that not everybody could hear from him. How many of you sitting in here still think sometimes, I'd like to hear from God more? Myself. But he knew that. And he knew the war you would fight with flesh. And he knew the pride and the lust and the struggle that you would have. And he knew how that things would sidetrack you. So he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to have so much mercy, I'm going to help everybody out. Hey, come over here. And he calls a man over and he says, I'm going to put it in your heart to start a church. And then by the time you build a big building, then I'm going to start gathering from other places. And then when we all come together, we actually have a building where somebody who's heard from God can get up here and tell everybody. And that is the mercy of God. And Paul said it like this. He said, I long to come to you that I may impart some spiritual gift. Do you hear that? Now, hold on. If everybody can hear from God themselves, how come God didn't just come to everybody? Because not everybody is in that place yet. There's still growth. So what's he do? He gives a word to somebody and says, hey, go impart something to them. Help everybody out. And that's what happens in this church. We help and we let God lead by heaven. And this example that's been given here, think about this. When you talk about a church and a vision and what God is doing, there's something to be said here in this place. Has God raised up ministry? He has, hasn't he? How many has ever thought, well, man, some of the ministry, I don't know. They don't seem like they hear from God. Has anybody ever thought that? It's okay. It's all right. Because God didn't say everybody's perfect and you can only be in the ministry if you're perfect. You know what he said? He said, you're called of God. I'm going to put you in ministry. Now go get to busy and start learning how to be the gift of God. That's what he said. Matter of fact, when he brought you to the church, say you're not part of the ministry team. Let's say you're here in the church. Did he expect you to be perfect before you came? No, what'd he say? Get in the church and start learning. And let me perfect you. And that's what God has been so merciful to do for us. But I noticed something here. There's been some things that our church needs to realize. First of all, we need to get more unified. Our church, I'm talking about as a whole. We need to be more unified. Did you know, take this for example. As the parable of a mother, does she give birth to children? Yes. What do you think this church was? What do you think these other churches are? Do you think that God wants to raise up churches? And it's like, does it make one greater than the other? No, it just is the story of God, of what he did. And what he is birthing from this place, churches should be coming forth and going forth. And for a time, three other churches came forth. It's time that others come forth. So should some churches come forth out of Visalia? Yeah. Should some churches come forth out of Boise and Yuma? Yeah. But what about the people of God? Are we hearing from heaven to do these things? And I think this, how many of us have the vision of God? Brian talked about mysteries. I was waiting last night because I preached this so many times and I didn't hear it and I'm still listening for it. What is the mystery of the will of God? What is the mystery of the will of God, everybody? I have preached it so many times in our church, what the mystery of the will of God is. It's to gather everything unto himself, all in one body. I know everybody in my church got caught up in the gathering word. And you forgot that you were learning a mystery of the will of God. It's the will of God to gather. And to set the body together, it's the will of God. And so to carry the vision, it's we come here and we love the fellowship. But what is God doing? He's connecting us to what God started. This whole COVID thing that it disrupted all of this, it's been good for us. Because I think this week everybody realized something, didn't you? Like, this story is what God started. I want this story as my story. I see it in people in the conversations. This right here is what God intended to happen. That this church joined together and stay together. And it's not going to fail. And I'm telling you, we look around and we see what God is doing in the hearts of the people. And you see all of heaven being taught and gifted to us. And I think about that. But I want to get somewhere with this. I'm going to tell you a couple of dreams I had. And here's why I'm doing it. Not to talk about me, but I want to impart it to you. This is an impartation to you, okay? Because there's a reason God called me to pastor the Chicago church. There's a reason for that. The vision he gave me for it. I didn't just create it myself. God gave it to me. And I believe in it. And I strongly believe in it. And in my heart, the vision that God started here, that he's put in my heart to be faithful to continue, I'm not the only one. These elders are with me in it. We're 100% in it. But there's a thing here, and I remember years back, I was here for 2 years, And I talked about my friends DR and Barb that are here. Raise your hand, DR. We didn't meet you the other night. They're from Virginia Beach. We went down to Virginia Beach, Naomi and I. Now remember, we just packed up and left everything from Virginia in Rocky Mount. That was the mountains. We just got here. Now we're packing up everything again and going to Virginia Beach. And, well, the beach was better than the mountains. I have to say that. I love the mountains, but the beach was good. And we loved it there. But I was seeking the Lord one night, and I was very young in this Word of God, very young. Didn't know a whole lot. And I learned a lot while I was out there. But I was in my office, and it was a little, it was our closet. It was our closet, because we had three kids, man, and a little apartment. So I had my desk in my office, my walk-in closet, and all my clothes were there. It just, you do what you do, right? And I'm trying to study the Word of God, and I'm so tired one night because I'm working, I'm seeking the Lord. I fall asleep in my chair, and no sooner than I fall asleep, the hand of God comes down from heaven and writes His name in my forehead. I almost fell out of the chair. Because it was so powerful that it woke me up. And I didn't fully understand it. I called Rick and he said, I know. I dreamed it. The Lord let me partake of Him writing on your forehead. And I knew, oh man, this is bigger than me. This is big. This is huge. This is a witness. And I'm thinking about this, and I'm pondering this for a while. And then through the years, I'm looking at this, and I'm starting to realize it's about the name. It's about the name. See, the church is a church, but a church is really a church of God if it has the right name on it. And I start thinking about the name that all of heaven and earth is named by, and all of the family of God is named by. And then I think about what Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. I was like, wait, your name's Jesus. You came in your Father's name. You were given the name above all names. What's the Father's name? Could it possibly be Jesus? And I start thinking about this order of this name. And then the Lord begins to visit me more. And He begins to take me through several dreams. And He begins to show me something. Now, I'm working on something, because there's people in this room that you don't know yet what your name is. You don't know it. And I want to tell it to you. Because a name is more than just Bob, Tim, Micah, Brad. A name represents something, man. And in the Bible, we see that. Family names, and there's meanings and all of that. But what about the name of Jesus and what it represents? And so I had this other dream, and I remember it was in 2000, and Rick was in Boise with Brian. I know that because I wrote it down. And I called Rick and I told him, well, first I sent him an email. Rick never reads emails, but I had to text him and said, hey, remember that email thing you got on your phone? Read that. And he did. Well, when he read it, then he called me. And I told this dream a long time ago, and I want to tell you something for a very specific reason. I was in a hospital in this dream, and I died. In an earth, I died. And I woke up in a place that was, I looked in the distance and I saw a bright city. It was the city of God. And on this other place where I was out on the outer courts of it, there were people, spirits, angelic spirits. And I looked around and I saw images and spirits, but all my thought was, where is Jesus? Where is Jesus? And I looked and I saw the throne from a great distance, but it was so big and so bright that I just knew where I had to go. And I started to make a beeline straight for the throne, and an angel came to me and stopped me and said, "You can't go that way." And I didn't even see that there was a gap, like a dark sea that was in front of me. And as I looked at that, he said, "You can't go that way. If you cross that way, you will actually enter into the darkness there." And I said, "What is that?" He said, "That's where spirits go to die." And I was trying to learn. I was learning what he was telling me. I didn't understand all things. I was being taught this at the same time. And he said, "That's where they go when they're not sent. They go to try to save others that when they're not sent." Well, I immediately kind of started feeling some compassion for them. Well, there's spirits in there. I want to go save them. So I had this thought in me to want to go save them. And I thought, I got to save them. I got to help them. If they're in death, Tim, I got to help them. And the angel said, "No. If you go without being sent, you get trapped. You can't get out." And I thought, "I can't get out." Then I hesitated. And then I pondered. And what was going on in me is I was working through the mindset of, do I want to go in my own will? The going out. This is what happens when you want to go in your own will. And I stood there and I pondered this. And I'm pondering, in my own will. They need help, but my own will. Okay, I'm not going to go. And the minute I said, "I'm not going to go," an explosion took place from the throne. It was so loud. This dream, I'm telling you, it was one of the greatest dreams. It exploded like a trumpet, but it was so loud I couldn't even decipher the sound of it. But it was like an explosion. That's why I call it that. And immediately from the throne, Jesus came. And he stood before me. Now, this is the same Jesus that appeared to me in a dream before I left Rocky Mount, Virginia to move here the very first time. And I had desired to see him again many times. He was so glorious. He was lit up. His face was shiny. He was the brightest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And the first time I saw him, I fell in love with him so much that I always desired to see him again. And 25 years later, he appeared to me in the same image. And he's standing before me and he says, no, matter of fact, he didn't say anything. And I said to him, I bowed before him and I said, "Who will save them? Who's going to save them?" And he said, when I send you, I'm going to send you in my name. I'm going to send you in my name. Then I knew. I was learning something then. He said, "I'm going to send you in my name." And he says, "When you go, you will preach the gospel. You will heal them. You will cast out spirits from them. Unclean spirits will leave them when you go. And you will do what I have sent you to do. And those that will hear will follow. And those that won't, I will get them." Did you hear that? And I learned something else right there. I can't get them all. You can't get them all. You can't. And I knew. He said, "I will get them. I will get them." And I said, "Okay, Lord, you will get them." And then I had one more question for him. I said, "Will I rise?" because I was going to be in the place where spirits go to die. I said, will I rise? He said, you will rise, and I will bring you to me, and all those that you bring with you, I will bring. And when I knew right then, that place was the earth. It was the earth, the place of death. And it wasn't like the earth is God's, right? Like the earth is God's. Like, can we make this life right here in this physical earth, can we make this a good parable of God if we all love God? Look around us. What have we made this whole weekend? A parable of God? Because why? Because our thoughts and our heart and our intents were toward coming together and honoring the Lord. But in that, I knew, I said, okay, but the earth is also used for a place of death where many people get trapped there. And how do you get trapped? All you care about is the earth. All you care about is preaching to people in the flesh. All you care about is showing off what gifts we have. That's how you get trapped. How you don't get trapped is when you walk through a congregation and the Lord's anointed you and wrote his name on your forehead and you just speak the word of the Lord that you're sent to speak. What am I telling you today? I'm imparting you that this church is and does have the name of Jesus written upon us, and God has called us in this earth to be what he sent me out to be. And every one of us in this place, whether you're, hey, let's just get to it. Whether you're casual, what I mean by that is you're a casual Christian. I think there's a song about that. Or if you are dead on 100% committed to God, fervent in everything you do, listen, I want everybody to come together and realize there's something going on in heaven. God is ordering from heaven how we're supposed to be in this world. And this coming together and joining together, none of us, you take the elders that preached this week, separate each one of us unto ourselves. Do we fulfill all things? Or do you need every word from God? Do you need it? You need it. You put us all together, and what begins to happen? Oh, the fullness begins to come in. What do you think happens when you get a body of Christ and a church together that has the same mind and the same vision of God, and we start coming together? In the name of Jesus, Brad. In the name of Jesus. Hey, what's a name give you? What's a name? What's the big deal about having the right name?
United under it.
United under it.
Like a family has the same name.
It has the same name. It's one family, right? It's an inheritance. Love that. What else?
Identity.
Who said that? Identity. Absolutely. It tells the world who you are. Hey, actually, by the way, didn't you realize that Jesus said this and God said it in the Old Testament? That so that the world may know that you have sent me. Does he want the world to know? Yeah. How about you? How about us? Do we want the world to know inside and out what name we're walking under? What banner we're living under? I mean, it's the church of the living God. And who? What else? What else does a name?
It's a birthright.
It's a birthright. Boy, that's true, isn't it? Born of? I mean, we're saying something here. We're born of a name. I mean, the name that God gave his only son, Jesus Christ, gave him a name above all names. And then he said, I'll just be the firstborn of that name. I have many brothers. I have many sisters. I'm just the first with that name. And when you know it that way, you begin to realize something. Here's something else that happens with that name. When Jesus went to heaven, were there some angels there standing like, hold on, let me check your credentials. You can't come in. You know the old jokes about the pearly gates, Peter and all that. He's guarding the pearly gates of. We laugh about those things, but there's something to be said about this. Imagine Jesus. He enters into heaven and opens all of heaven. Who's he do it for? For the church of the living God. For the family of God. And then, one by one, he begins to write his name on every one of his saints. And he begins to take, you say, ownership. No, that's a bad word. No, because we're his workmanship. We're created in him. And we are, Paul said it flat out, man, I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And so having the name written upon my forehead, belonging to Jesus Christ, you know what that gives you and I? Access. Access into the holy place. Access. It's like, of course the Lord is not going to let any unclean thing come into his new Jerusalem. But he will let his name come in. He will let those that belong to him come in. And when he does, he allows and we have access. And so here's the thing. And I'm gonna wrap this up pretty quick here for this part. Here's the thing. We have this church, and the Lord has been faithful to it. And as the elders, I'm just going to tell you straight, I'm going to be very bold about this and confident about this, is years ago, this church went through one of the greatest stories we've ever been through. We saw the rise of what Brian preached last night. In manifestation, we saw an example of the man of sin rise among us. And look, anybody that stayed through the story has learned one thing. God is in charge of this whole thing. And he has taught us that he will overcome everything. And he brought us through all of that. And the first thing he did, because you have men and women in our church that played and I'm just going to call it a part, because there's a parts of the story. You think God's forgotten any of them? Nope. No way, no how. But everything played a part. And then when Rick came along and played his part of gathering us and calling out ministry and beginning to ordain ministry, something began to happen that brought us to today. And that was, he set aside ministry that would not hurt the church. He said, I ain't gonna let them do it. And here's the thing. Every one of us, I'm going to fill you in on a few little secrets about our elders' meetings. You don't think we remember and talk very clearly about what happens when one person rises up and wants to go their own way? And each one of us, PK, we're not going to let that happen, are we? We stand together. And when we do, the Lord can put confidence in the ministry team and say, this ministry team will guide this church and lead the church anywhere he wants to take us. The only thing we have to do is convince you to follow. And you're pretty convinced. And the convincing is, thank God, it's not like where men get up in control by their own will. Now, we're pretty patient. We say, look, if a person has got to do their own thing for a little while, we'll let them go do their thing. But hey, you know what? Before you leave, I just want you to know you'll be back. You're coming back. And I'm going to be here loving you when you come back. You can go, you can complain, you can accuse, you can do anything about the house of God. But one thing's for sure, we're going to be here when you get back, and we're going to say, welcome home. Welcome home. Because there is none of that garbage of, get out of my church, you whatever. You know, we could go into a whole bunch of, I almost said some bad things there. Because that's the way that kind of mindset thinks. Well, I'm so offended that you spoke evil against me. I'm the pastor of the church. Give me a break. Like, this is God's church. Who is getting offended over somebody that gets the opportunity to go out and learn the story of God? Why would I get offended at that? Why would we get offended at somebody needing to learn the story of God? And what a lot of people don't know is we'll tell you to go because we know you're coming back. We've already seen it. If you have to, we don't command anybody to leave. But my point is, there's so much story going on here that the Lord is just gathering, and he doesn't forget anything that he started. You say people back in 2000 that are not here anymore. You know, 2008 was a major year for our church. And the word of the Lord came forth. And there was a question in some of our minds if this church was going to make it. And Rick's like, you have questions? You're concerned? Like, God already told me this thing ain't falling. Oh, okay. That sounds good. Can I join you in that witness? Sure. Come join me. We need more witnesses. And then God started raising up witnesses. And here we are. And look in our congregation today. Not everybody could make the trip. They're online today. God bless all of you. We'll see you in Visalia. But we're a church, and God has preserved it. And God has kept it. Why? Because he started it in heaven. He didn't start it here. He started in heaven. And look, I know this is going to sound crazy. And look, just bear with me. Can you bear with me? Could you imagine that God pulled a congregation of all of you together as spirits in him before this journey ever happened? And he just pulled us all together and he talked to us all and said, you will all be family in the earth. Could you believe that? Am I crazy or is that possible? I mean, and if it's a stretch, just bear with me, you know, and work with me on it. Because I'm telling you, we have seen as elders, we have seen too many experiences in God that show us what God was doing in the heavens. He is enlightening us to his will. And it's a mystery. His will has been hidden, Brian, as a mystery. And now the Lord has opened up the mystery of his will and said, come all, come all. Let's gather you around. And you notice what Brian preached last night? It was mentioned in, gosh, I haven't even used the scriptures. Forgive me. It was mentioned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Katie, you got to put it up there. Please put the Bible up there for me. In chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus and by our gathering together. You know why the Lord gathers us? So he could teach us about the feast and how we feast with the Lord. And he teaches us, gathered us so we can learn about the man of sin and how to overcome him. And he gathers us so that he can talk to us about sonship and about the temple of God, Keith, and about the inheritance of the brotherhood, Kenny. And he gathers us so that we can discuss all of these things that he promised us in heaven that he was going to teach us. That's why. The will of God is to gather his church together and everybody, hear me, we will not let this church fall. We are diligent, fervent, to not play church. 2010, Boise Conference. Do not play church. Today, we're not playing church. We're getting the word of the Lord, and we're following that word of the Lord, and we're going to honor the word of the Lord, and we're going to stay committed to it. And this vision started, and Brian said he was, what, 9 years old? 10 years old? I was 7 when this thing started. And didn't know nothing about it, but we knew something was in the heart. God had a plan. Some of you weren't even born yet when this church started. How many weren't born? Was born after in 77 and on? My goodness. Come on, young people. Come on, young people. Who's going to lead this church? Who's going to carry this work of God? Who's going to hear from heaven? Who's going to say, yeah, I was sitting in that conversation. I know exactly what God said, Brad. So I'm going to tell it to everybody. And what do you think this is? This is our preaching is a retelling of the church we're having in heaven. Because you ever seen a congregation of angels? Honest to God. I know that stuff is profound to talk about. But all those witnesses in the Bible, they testified of it. We've got witness here of seeing the congregation of angels testifying. And you know what? A lot of those angels came from this earth. And you know what they were talking about? How God kept them all the way through it. Will that be us? We got a church, don't we? Well, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm actually not going to be much longer. How's that? So you want a break or do you want me to do what I'm going to do after the break? What do you want to do? Just finish it up. Let's go. Here's what I want to do. We're going to do something here. I want all the elders and their wives to stand. And then I want you to come up to the front. Maybe come stand up here. We got 3 originals up here. That's awesome, isn't it? Everybody knows them, right? And look what God has put in place. And we're not done with this group. Look what God has put in place here. And you know what I have found? I'm learning now, especially the men. The ladies, they have joined so awesomely with us. It's amazing what the ladies have joined with for us. I mean, we are men. And there is a little tolerance that the wives have to do. But it does work both ways, everybody. Come on. But being funny, that's just marriage, right? What did Jesus or Paul type the church as? And him. Jesus and the church was a husband and wife, didn't he? What did he say it was? A great mystery. You think marriage might be a little hard to find out how to work it sometimes? Yeah. You're going to have to get Jesus and the church understood before you get marriage figured out. Let me just tell you that. That's the truth. That's the truth, isn't it? But we've got elders up here that have, I know this now, they will give anything for the church. And they will lay their lives down. These men and these women, they will lay their lives down to help the church and to give to the church and to yield to the church. But most of all, to carry the name of Jesus and represent him. And one thing it's growing and increasing among us is our love to see all the church be saved and grow into the gifts of God. That's in us, man. And it's just no more this one person rules it all. None of that, man. Jesus is king. Yeah. And we love that and we honor that. And I thank God for that. So we have this ministry team up here that the Lord has blessed greatly. And here's the thing. He's still talking to us. He's still revealing things. We have not been slothful. Nor have we, Brian.
No, sir.
We've not been slothful. We hear from God. I'm going to tell you right now, we hear from God. We get the word of the Lord to lead this church. And it's amazing. I listen to some of these brothers and I'm just, wow, man. That's some God stuff right there. And I love it. And then we have this other group. Now, you guys are probably going to have to scoot forward a little bit, but I want all the deacons to stand up. The deacons. All of you come up front. Stand behind the elders. The deacons have proved and are still learning some great things of the Spirit. That's okay. We just got to make room, man. We just got to do our thing. Anybody want to move this? Okay, I'll do it. This is a great group of people, and you know what? Is there one in heaven that understands all things that's perfect? That's not this group. This group is humbling themselves before God so we can hear from God and keep growing and learning. That's us. There's one in heaven that understands it all. He is perfect. But as long as we remain in Him, walking by His name, all things get revealed to us. And we give you our word. I can speak for all of us, right? Amen. We give you our word. We will serve the Lord to serve the church of God that He's given us in this earth, and we will honor the Lord. We will honor the Lord, and we will raise up everything in you to glorify God. Heal you of your sicknesses. Clean your thoughts out. If you'll join and follow and seek the Lord, we'll let the Lord do all of that work. And we'll spend time and we'll give ourselves to the works of God on behalf of the church of God, because this church ain't done. This is just a small little section. We got more stuff to do, right? I want to talk to you guys. Yesterday, now, Brian's had a vision already. He saw the word of the Lord. Gary saw the word of the Lord. And I had quickening in it, but yesterday PK was preaching. He's talking a little bit about ministry. Well, the Lord puts me in a vision, and in that vision, I'm seeing that host of heaven. I'm seeing some angels. I'm seeing this group of ministry. I knew who it was. It was us. And we were celebrating. You know what we were celebrating? We were celebrating Jesus, true. But we were celebrating one more, coming in to join us. Everybody listen to me. We were celebrating. We weren't like, oh, here's another one. Oh my God, what are we going to do? I'm jealous. Are they better than me? Are they a better speaker than me? No. We were celebrating the works of God, that God was raising up ministry. Amen. To work the works of God in this earth, because we need as many as we can get. Amen. We were celebrating. Jennifer. Come on, girl. Give your pastor a hug real quick, because you're right over there.